Hello, everyone. It's part two. Hello, part two. Can you hear me out there? Tap, tap, two.
Did you forget part one that you were recording?
I did. Okay. I have to edit that. But there was like a 4 second where I'm like.
No, I was like reading something on my phone and I was like, why isn't he talking yet?
So yeah, that makes sense. No, I forgot.
Okay, I was like, wow, maybe time is just frozen for a moment.
Here I am. It's Grey's Academy, the greatest voted on the fans Grey's Anatomy podcast of all time that has ever lived, does ever live, and will ever live. It's your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night to talk about the rest of this episode. We will start by saying that we just had a delightful conversation about Skittles. Carmen's insane because he eats them all together. I asked them to rank the Skittles flavors and he cannot do it because he eats the entire bag like it is a shot of alcohol and just dumps the whole thing in his mouth like a crazy person.
I do what the marketing team has asked of me and I taste the rainbow. I don't taste the color red. I don't taste the color yellow. I taste the rainbow.
I will say also, on the packaging, it doesn't say taste the rainbow.
Yeah, I'm still floored
at
that.
Which is wild.
I don't actually know if I believe you. I think you're gaslighting all of us.
I literally was like, I have to be
missing it. Are you gaslighting yourself?
I have to be missing it. Like, I even went and found the part that I tore off, and I was like, did they write it tiny on this? No, they didn't. No, it doesn't. There's a QR code, and it says scan to unlock the rainbow, but that's as close as you get.
Speaking of tearing open a bag, Marlo has currently entered the phase where if I don't tear the bag the way that she wants it, short ways or hot dog ways or hamburger ways, she is livid. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not great.
Oy. Daddy, I want you to open it this way. Well, I can't open it. I can't do that now. I can't close it a second time.
It's done. So, yeah. That's annoying.
It was delightful. We also had a good conversation about the holidays, and just remembering that even if you're in a good mental headspace, guys, therapy is good. So this year, I'm going to get back into therapy.
We're going to seek it out.
Yeah.
More people should be able to afford it. Healthcare is garbage.
Healthcare should be a right to all humans.
Healthcare is a right. It should be available to everybody.
Healthcare should be a cost-affordable right.
Yep. Okay. We're going to start with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! First of the year.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Is it zero?
It is. I was I went back twice because I was like, I have to have missed something.
I thought for sure the scoliosis lady or her husband would have been.
I thought her husband, and then I thought the doctor from the other hospital.
Oh, but yeah. No.
Not a one.
Wow, they really did have a lot of extra characters. That sucks.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Oh, man.
But I guess we kind of have Shondaland because Henry had to die to go be Jake, so that's kind of Shondaland.
It's true. Shondaland adjacent.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer. First of the year.
Yeah, sorry. But I just can't deprive the people of your beautiful song.
You know, in all of 2025, I can count on one hand the amount of Living in Shondaland characters we've had.
Yeah. Same. I can count on no hands.
All right.
Here's to 2025. Hopefully no more zero Shondalands.
Can you imagine if that's it? Like, the segment just dies?
I know that it won't because I know what's coming, so.
Oh, right. Tell me.
There's always more. There's always friends. I got friends. Oh, I hate that song.
Which song?
I got friends in low places. The whiskey drowns and the beer chases the blues away.
You know way too many lyrics of that song for a song.
I know
like
all of it.
Oh,
because I grew up in the South where they play it constantly at any gathering with more than like 7 people. Because a lot of other people love it, so they'll all scream sing it. Any gathering where like a large number of people are drunk, they're gonna play that song.
Did I ever tell you about when I was playing in my Gallery 81 days and a drunk person asked me to play Blake Shelton in the middle of my set? Did I ever tell you that?
No. What Blake Shelton song?
So okay, hold on. Let me back this up.
Set the stage. Set the stage.
So Gallery 81, my band, the greatest band of all time, was playing a show outside of Chicago, and we had practiced the song The More I Drink by Blake Shelton. That is a favorite of mine. It's a good song, and that is both subjective and objective.
I don't know that one.
We're talking to these guys, and they're like starting to drink. They buy us a couple rounds of drinks before our set, and they're like, "You guys gonna play any country songs? Like, we want to listen to some country stuff." They were not from around here; they were from out of town. And I'm like, "I got one country song, and it's a Blake Shelton song." And they're like, "Oh, okay, so we're gonna stay for your set." So we get on stage, and like the second song, they're like, "Blake Shelton!" And they're in the front. They're just hammered, and they yell it. And we're like, "Okay, guys, just calm down." So we finally play Blake Shelton, and these guys in the front of the stage start to like square dance to The More I Drink in the middle of the one. And we kind of like pop punk this up a little bit. Like, we don't right. like country it. And at the end of the set, so like we've made friends with these guys, they are piss drunk. The guy hands me his phone. He's like, can you call my friend? And I'm like, yeah, like I can call your friend. Like, what's the number?
And he goes,
I need you to call my friend. It's U-B-E-R. It's pronounced Uber. And I'm like, okay, you want me to call you an Uber? And he's like, yeah, I need you to call me Uber. Super drunk. So I go into the Uber app on his phone, and the car arrived. He already had called himself the Uber. So I go, bro, the Uber's here already. And he goes, that was the fastest I've ever seen. How did you do it? And I'm like, bro, you did this. And he's like, I don't believe you. Took
the
phone.
I hate those people so much.
Got into the car, never to see these two people ever again. It was my favorite experience in my entire musical career that day.
I don't know that Blake Shelton song.
It's a good one. Like it. Listen to it
about?
After this.
Oh, George Strait.
Anyways, so anytime I think of Uber, I think of these drunk guys saying, can you call my friend Uber? And then me saying he already called it, and they're like, oh, it's the quickest Uber I've ever. Incredible. So, yeah, that's my,
drunk
my story.
Good time. Good times. Okay.
Do you want to talk about a lady with a hamburger heart?
Oh my God, Jackson.
Rough day for Jackson. No resolution.
No, there's really not a lot of resolution for most of this episode. So at the beginning of this episode, Callie is like discharging this patient, and she seems super hesitant. She's like, wouldn't it be great if you didn't go home? And the woman is like, no, I got to get home. And as someone who like has small children, if I had back surgery, I would be like, yes, I'm very nervous to go home where the children will jump on me like a trampoline.
Because they don't care that I had surgery that is groundbreaking.
They probably would care if they could grasp the concept. But they can't, so they don't. And they will kill me. So Callie is like, okay, well, you know, just, you know, don't bend over at all. Immediately bends over.
Yeah.
And they're discharging her. She's leaving. They kind of run into Jackson, who was on the case with her. And she is like, oh, this is my husband, blah, blah, all this stuff. And then they're leaving, and she's like, like, can't breathe, just dying immediately.
Yeah. And the kid's like, mommy!
And they have, like, no idea what's going on. Like, what's happening? Why is it happening? So they get her into the ER, and they are like, where is all this blood? Like, she's bleeding internally. We don't know where this is coming from. They crack her chest. Callie's like, she's not a trauma patient. And he's like, what? She's dying. Like, what is your solve? So then they page Teddy, and that's when Teddy takes her up to the OR. During the surgery, April's glove gets caught on something and tears. They investigate this further and find that one of the screws that Jackson put into her spine has shifted or was put in the wrong spot. And every time this woman's heart beats, it just tears a hole in her heart. Which I feel like it had to have moved because it's been 3 days since the surgery. Yeah. There's no way she was just vibing for 3 days with a hole in her heart. Like, it had to have gotten to that point, right?
That was my initial thought, too. But you got to think, people live how long with, like, bowel ischemia and, or, like,
I mean, it's our heart.
Aortic dissections, I mean. I meant to say aortic dissections, not bowel ischemia. Aortic dissections, and they like, rip, like, little micro rips every time. So who knows how close the screw was to the heart, what part of the heart it was on. So that is crazy to me. But you would think it wouldn't be like, man, my arm is just getting more and more numb. It's like, no, my heart is what is happening inside of me right now. I don't like accidentally touching a pin of a needle. Imagine inside there's a needle every
a
time
screw.
You bum 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 bum. So that was wild. And there was that, it was kind of a potent scene where Teddy was like, did you cut her open and slice her heart open? And Callie's like, no, dude. And Teddy's like, that's my patient then. If you didn't cut her heart open, she's my patient. I gotta go fix whatever's happening. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
But she was pissed.
Yeah.
When they took that screw out.
Yeah. Teddy was really mad, and then Callie was really mad at Jackson. And then Callie was really mad at herself.
I was just reading a magazine, Bailey.
Yeah. Well,
that was actually a really good scene. That was a dope scene. This episode has so many dope scenes.
Ugh. And no resolution for anything.
And no resolutions. Except for Henry's dead. So when, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that scene when Bailey was talking to Callie and Callie's like, I was watching him, but I was not really watching him. He was doing the thing and I was reading a magazine, and Bailey's like, you can't beat yourself up, dude. This is fifth year. These kids got to learn. Like,
we let
sucks.
Them operate.
We let
like,
them
we
yeah,
have
we
to.
Them, we
that's
have
how
to.
It works. And that's why I'm like, now I'm afraid to ever go to a hospital ever. I think I've told this story before, and like, I feel bad because these people do have to learn and I want them to learn. But I remember when we were like doing pre-check-in in the hospital in Orlando, and they were like, sign all these papers. And they were like, this one is saying that you're acknowledging that this is a teaching hospital. And it gave me pause. And I was like, if I sign this, am I consenting for any of these people to do procedures on me? And they're like, no, you're just acknowledging that we have told you this is a teaching hospital. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I don't think.
I'm like, if you want to come in and watch me have a baby, great. If you, like my cousin, when his wife gave birth to their first daughter, the doctor was like, is it okay if one of our med students gives you your epidural? And they were just like both frozen in fear. And they were like, and thank God her mom was there. And she was like, you know, I just don't think we're comfortable with that. But thank you so much for the opportunity.
I also would have been like, education is the greatest gift that you can receive.
That someone else can give you.
But I don't have, I have none to give. I didn't go to school. I can't bestow upon you the gift of education.
I have no education and you cannot poke me with a needle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I'm like, if you want to have extra people in here watching this baby come out of me or watching the anesthesiologist give me an epidural, watching someone else put an IV in me, great. I don't know that this is the time.
I need someone doing this surgery procedure on me who, when they started as a med student, you could smoke in the OR. That's what I need right now.
I need someone who has who has been doing this as long as Grey's Anatomy has been on the air.
Yeah.
That's my metric.
Not someone who was born the year Grey's started. That's what
Have you been practicing medicine as long as Meredith Grey? No, then you cannot practice medicine on me.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But and it's honestly, when I was in college, I did a lot of work with the med school. We had a med school at my college. There was, like across the street, there was the VA campus, and there was a medical school on the VA campus. And so they would call the theater department all the time and be like, hey, can you send some of your weirdos over here to pretend to be sick people so we can teach our med students like how to treat people?
Can you send some of your weirdos over there?
Yeah. The theater weirdos. You think that a medical professor, a doctor, is going to call the theater department and be like, send those normal people over? Like, someone who got a medical degree doesn't look at someone majoring in theater and go, that's a normal person. No, they're like, send some of those fucking weirdos over here.
That's funny. I actually can empathize with that, because I think anyone who goes to med school, I'm like, that person is crazy.
Well, because they do a lot of work with, like, the dummies or whatever, and the dummies, and you know, they make them
the theater students.
No, like the actual dummies.
Oh, I was like, dang, girl, that's
no,
mean.
No, no, no.
They've been demoted
smart.
From weirdos to dummies very quickly.
I'm quite smart. I just got a theater degree. It calls into question my wisdom, but not my intelligence. So, yeah, the dummies that like talk, but they would like have us talk, and they would just give us like what we were saying, or they would give us like a backstory, and they would be like, okay, go talk to this like behavioral health major. Like, they would be basically trying to like prove that they were ready to talk to like actual people who need therapy, but they needed to like you to pretend to like be really sad first. And then I don't know if I've told this story. They filmed, I was on a film that I've been told since people have seen, because they also have a nursing school. And they were like, we're going to film two people, a good doctor and a bad doctor. And I was the bad doctor. So it was just, my bedside manner was bad. So I was like telling someone they have cancer, but I was like, man, it sure is rainy. Here are your test results. They're not good. Here's a lot of information. See you later. Bye.
I want to see that video.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it's in the annals. The annals of
the
ETSU.
Annals of history.
But yeah, I mean, I had people that I knew who went to nursing school who would message me and be like, oh, they showed me this video today and you were in it. And I was like, oh, yep, that was me. Don't be like that.
Did you hear that President-elect Donald Trump wants to take over the Panama Canal?
The anals. The anals of the canal.
The anals of Panama. Oh. Gosh,
anyways.
I hate that I even have to say President-elect.
You don't have to say it. You can just be like, fucking Donald Trump.
Did I tell you I have completely removed the word Trump from my vocabulary?
Oh, that feels dramatic, because it is also just a word.
No, it's not just a word. It's an embodiment of the devil himself.
But you're giving him power by doing that.
No, I've removed the power. I say words like supersedes. This doesn't trump it. It supersedes it.
You could still say Trump and just call him Dump.
Donald Rump.
Okay. Anyways. Oh, also I wanted to mention this before I forget. Scott Foley, who plays Henry. This episode, when did this air? Did I say?
November 10th.
November 2011. November 2011. So then he went on to do 10 episodes of True Blood. And he would not do Scandal until 2013.
What did he do
in
between?
In my memory,
those?
It was like immediate.
What did he do between
he
those?
He did True Blood, The Goodwin Games, Mr. Maple Leaf, Let's Kill Ward's Wife, Undateable, Return of the Mac, Insecure, Naked, Insecure, Final Vision.
Huh.
That's just everything on his IMDb in between Grey's Anatomy and Scandal.
All right.
So.
Until he comes back on Grey's Anatomy in season 21 to exact his revenge on Christina.
Because Scandal started in 2012, but he wasn't on it right away.
And when did the whole Disney ABC thing happen?
I don't know what you're asking. Like, when did Disney buy ABC?
No, when they did the thing to Shonda and she left.
Oh. I want to say that was like 2013, maybe 2012, 2013.
So the TGIT, she left immediately after that, or how long after that did she leave? I can't do this Google research.
I know I'm on it. Not why, I know why. Oh, okay. Well, no. She signed the deal with Netflix in 2017. I'm just thinking, I guess, I'm just getting it confused as to when she stopped show running Grey's. Because that was earlier than 2017. But she was still doing
How to Get Away with Murder
other
and
stuff. Yeah.
Scandal.
Well, she wasn't technically doing How to Get Away with Murder, but she was doing Scandal. But yeah, she wanted to do Netflix because network television is just so dictated by a schedule and also by like a lot of rules. And yes, she definitely thrives on Netflix, where she can like have way more creative freedom.
Yeah.
And just curse as much as she wants. And nudity, just galore.
Yeah. Love the nudity. That's great. More nudity, actually. We need more nudity. So, anyways, back to Callie. So Teddy pulls out the screw, goes to Callie, and is like, "Can you explain this to me, woman?" And
what
Callie's like, "Actually, I cannot. However, I need to go kill Jackson really quick.
Yell at somebody else for it."
Yeah. So that was pretty crazy. And so what I also don't understand is Callie goes to Jackson and is like, "You will find every video. You will find every piece of anything that's ever existed, even related to this case and the surgery." And then he gets a page and he runs away. And I'm like, bro, do you not understand what is happening here?
Yeah, that was, I mean, I understand it was important because it was like Alex and Meredith being stranded, but I was like, you should come back. You should come back right now.
Also, maybe use your words to tell Callie, "Hey, you're right. I will do all of this and I suck. I don't know what's going on, but I'll figure it out. But like, Meredith and Alex are in a bomb. So
I do have to go." Also, I don't really understand why he is the point of contact for them.
Well, they called six other people, but everyone was in surgery.
I mean, I think it's because he's with Arizona and Mark on the other kid surgery. So they're like, "Oh, just call Jackson if you need Arizona." But that was the only thing I could think of. But I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Oh, man, what a storyline there. So, yeah, so we have no resolution on that. We just, we don't know.
We don't know if she's going to be okay. We don't know what happened yet. We don't know anything. And Callie's like, "Come here, we got to go tell her husband that you fucked it up."
And all we get was the little kid going, "Where's my mama?" And giving a dramatic hug to the dad.
Obviously, pull at the heartstrings.
For drama.
It's not Shonda if they're not making me feel bad for somebody. So.
And then I think that's it for that storyline so far that we have.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you have?
Again, no resolution. I don't think I have anything else on that one. Cute family.
Cute family. Yeah. And apparently she was just talking about Jackson's eyes to her husband.
Well, yeah. Have you seen him?
Yeah. He's just okay.
Hello. He's hot as fuck.
He's medium at best.
You're so
he's
dumb. Okay. You're like actually the dumbest person I've ever met.
Oh.
And that's saying a lot because I just met so many stupid people.
I think that you're exaggerating.
Get your eyes checked, you fucking idiot.
Hurtful. I went to the eye doctor this year.
Just admit that he's more attractive than Derek.
I don't know that I feel that. I think he's definitely more attractive than Alex. I think
it goes Jackson, Mark. Doesn't really. The rest of them don't really matter.
I think that Jackson is a close third.
Oh my god!
But I think after those top, I think Mark, then Derek, then Jackson, and then I think it's quite a bit of ways, and then we get Alex, and then George is hotter than all of them. So,
oh right. Yeah. Because he's burning in hell. Just Current kidding. George. That was mean. He's not. He's not. He's not in hell. I need to go to bed. Okay.
I did not see that coming. Just like George didn't see the bus.
He did see the bus. That's why he jumped. He was pushing someone else out of the way.
Oh, gosh.
No, I can't even blame that. I'd like taking cold medicine because I can't fucking take any cold medicine right now.
What do you think George's version of hell is? Is it watching the girl get hit by the bus and he stands there? Or is it him eternally getting hit by the bus?
It's probably something irrelevant to the bus. Probably just like his dad being like, I'm disappointed in you. Why would you cheat on Callie?
Yeah.
Which is a fair question.
Maybe it's just his brother's purple nurpling him for all of eternity.
That would also suck.
There was a comedian that had talked about, I don't remember who it was. Maybe, was it John Mulaney?
So funny.
That talked about how the worst part of hell would be if like you couldn't talk to everyone else about like what was going on. That was real hell. Like everyone's experiencing individual hell, but there's not like a clock out, like 5 minute break where everyone goes to the water cooler in hell and they're like, man, you'll never believe what I'm going through right now.
I don't think that's John Mulaney, but that's funny. Also, speaking of comedians, we just watched the new Nate Bargatze stand-up. Bargatze. Yeah.
Is it
He's
good?
So funny. We love him. We've watched a lot of his other stuff, but like Michael and I were sobbing laughing at one part of it. Like, it's so funny.
I got
all of
his,
like, I would recommend everything he has. I think he has three or four on Netflix and then one on like Hulu or Amazon. They're all so funny. Like I absolutely hands down like think he's so funny. And I'm like, is it just because he's also from the South that I find him funny? But I don't think so. Like I think he's just a really funny guy.
Yeah, he's from Nashville.
He's from a little bit outside of that. Like he's from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is the middle of nowhere. But yes, Nashville is what I would tell people to.
Well, that's what his Wikipedia page.
I'm sure he lives in Nashville now for sure. Cause he's, you know, got the dollars that Nashville money.
Well, they need to update his page because it literally says Bargatze was born in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, he probably was. Cause I doubt there's hospitals in Mount Juliet. There might
what
be.
What is, he said he went to a volunteer state community college in Gallatin. How do you say it? Gallatin.
I can't think.
Appalachian.
That is correct. It is Appalachia, not Appalachian. He's funny. Please watch him. That's my. And then we watched the stand up. Oh, who was it?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Segura. No, I told.
Oh,
Mike,
Tom
like,
Segura.
Yeah. We had never watched any of his. He was funny. We watched one. But I showed Michael the clip of Sebastian Maniscalco. And I go, we can't watch this. You'll hate it. Listen to this man talk. And Michael was like, I hate this so much.
What was the clip? And it, what
it
is
doesn't
the
matter. It's the accent. It doesn't matter. He hates like that like really Northern Yankee accent, which I also don't love it. But like it's
what
like, I think he leans into like I definitely think Sebastian like he leans into that as a character.
He's Italian.
Which is not exclusive to New Jersey, but OK. He sure as shit doesn't have an Italian accent.
Yes, he does. You guys are
no, he
wild.
Doesn't.
He's from Chicago, you know.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He sounds like he's from New Jersey.
That's how I know that that's the
very
that's,
hard.
That's the sound of Italians. He's probably my favorite comedian right now. And I've never seen him live.
Gallatin. It's Gallatin.
Ah, yes. Anyways, all right, we've gone off the rails. Let's take a quick break from our regional our regional sponsors in Gallatin. give us some gelatin from Gallatin. Putting some things. I don't know. Just talk to us. And we are back. All right. Amazing.
You feel good about those jokes?
No. No, I don't.
Well, it's okay not to make a joke about everything. Sometimes you can just say a word.
I know.
Okay.
See?
I just want to make sure that you know that it's okay. That we accept you even when you're not trying to make a joke.
I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm just talking out of my... Just, you know what? You're a...
Ass. Okay. Anyways.
Excuse me.
Did we finish? Do we have anything? Yeah, we don't have anything else on Laura. We'll talk about...
Laura. That's her name.
Yeah. And her husband was Griffin, I think. Mm. Or Griff. Anyways. So Meredith and Alex have to go...
Never mind.
So what? Were you going to make another joke?
Yeah.
Now I've shamed it out of you.
I was gonna make
a shamed Carmen's humor out of him.
I was gonna make a Griffin door joke, but you know.
It's exhausting, you guys. It's actually exhausting. I don't know how Jessica lives with you.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway,
she closes the Griffin door on me.
Good. She fucking should slam it.
Okay.
All right. So Alex and Meredith have to go to this like middle of the nowhere hospital to pick up a baby who was an emergency delivery. Who's eensy, eensy, tiny. Did they say how early she was? She was very early.
She was 40 weeks early.
Well, I don't think that's true.
How many weeks are in a pregnancy? 42?
40.
Four, oh.
Just 40.
Oh. Oh, oops.
Just literally 40. Fucking idiot.
It's a long pregnancy.
Yeah. I agree.
Does it get any shorter? You've done three of them. Do they get any shorter?
I will say, I only did 39 weeks both times. I was like, I'm done. We're getting this baby out of me.
That's funny. Gosh.
Jessica did, 40 weeks in a day or something?
I thought she did 60
I was
weeks.
I was like, what did you just say?
I thought she was pregnant for a year and a half.
I'm going to revoke your Grey's Anatomy medical degree. You don't even have a Scrubs medical degree. I can't believe you just said that.
I was kidding. Gosh.
I don't know that you were. I fear that you have nothing.
You could tell we're both exhausted. The exhaustion is real.
Yeah. Okay. So this doesn't say how early the baby was, but this hospital had to emergency deliver this baby, and they have absolutely nothing to care for this child.
The baby's in a bowl.
The baby's in a toilet. They can barely keep her breathing. They can't hardly even give her an IV.
They can't do anything.
Yeah. So they kind of MacGyver around some stuff of what they can do with what they brought and what they have in the ambulance. So they do a procedure and then they take her back for transport. Obviously the ambulance has to break down on the side of the road, on a hill, on a curb, in the dark, in the rain, and it's cold and it's drama. And the guy's like, let me just run back to the gas station. After Alex says there's no shoulder on the road, he's like, let me just sprint a mile and a half down a dark, rainy, hilly, curvy road and see if I can find a truck. What? I don't know. This man's logic is flawed, but he's like, also probably get out because if someone hits you, you'll explode. I understand that oxygen is flammable, but just hitting an ambulance wouldn't make oxygen tanks explode.
As we've witnessed.
Clearly, there's some little bit more to it. Also, obviously, this is Meredith is trying to process everything with Zola and being told that they're not going to get her. Alex feels really guilty still. He's
He should
feel guilty. But I also like that Meredith is like, yeah, like what you did was dirty, but I did in fact break the law. So probably I could have not done that to start with. So there's self-awareness on both parts. And Alex is like, I can't be responsible for you not having a family. And she's like, no, that's not, it's not your fault. It's my fault. Blah, blah, all this stuff. Alex tries to comfort her. He's just like, bless him. He's not good at comforting people, but he's trying. He's a good friend in this episode, at least. Kind of hit or miss with him, but in this episode, he's a good friend. And then they're on the phone with Derek, Mark, and Arizona. They're like, we're stuck. Oh no. And Jackson's like, let me get a helicopter, run away. And, obviously they get hit for drama. Slow motion scene. slow mo crash scene.
Yeah, that was, the slow-mo was intense. At no point did I think Alex was making it out of this episode. Like, once that hit, I was like, okay, Alex is dying.
They're
like,
killing no Alex and Henry in this episode.
Yeah, I was like, that's, man, for a mid-season finale, this is really just
checking people off here. So they lose connection. Jackson goes back in and it's like the cops and the other ambulance are really close. So they're just going to get there instead of the helicopter, blah, blah. And Mark's like, okay, you're going to take over for Derek because he's clearly cannot do anything right now. Cause he just listened to his wife potentially die. So Jackson takes over for him and Derek goes to tell Owen what just happened. Obviously, we, the audience, see that they are, in fact, okay. They take the baby out of the incubator because they're like, this poor baby has been through so much already, and now she's just been jostled around this plastic box. She needs to be loved. And so she takes her out, and they're like, let's get out of here and like find somewhere safe we can stand or whatever. So they get out, and they're like, oh, shit, this other car's on fire, and also just bodies galore, which, like, I understand drama, but you're really going to tell me none of those people had seatbelts? Like, you are not ejected from a car if you're wearing a seatbelt. Why did none of those people have seatbelts on?
Because drama.
Like, people get ejected from vehicles, but three people? That's a lot.
Also, I'm sure there's some science around the direction of impact, the way the bodies flew, and where the car is aligned.
Because the car is on its side on fire.
Yes. But the ambulance doesn't seem like it's moved too much from the middle of the road that the guy pulled over.
Yeah,
into.
And the slow motion scene really makes it seem like the ambulance was like tipped on its side.
Yeah. Or like it has rolled multiple times or something.
It was just had a bit of a jostle. Oh, also, we need to call out the scene where they're leaving the hospital and the baby's mom is like, let me go with that baby, please. Because I do think that Meredith does a really good job comforting her.
Yeah, she is basically like, listen, I got you. Like,
yeah, like, you're going to come to Seattle. You're going to have a name. You're going to cuddle the baby. We're all going to be okay.
Yeah. I will save your child while my life is burning to the ground.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a couple of other parts that I want to call out with the Derek and, or not the Derek, the Meredith and Alex storyline. So it's this episode actually starts with him trying to be like, you should just have Christina carry this baby for you. Like, she gets pregnant at the drop of a hat.
That is like, in the ambulance.
Sorry, I meant the storyline in the ambulance.
Oh, the conversation. Because the storyline starts when they're in the bar. Alex gets hitting on this girl who shoots him down because she's like, we already fucked and you don't remember me.
Yeah, that is funny. That's the real start of their storyline in this episode.
Yeah.
But I meant to say, thank you for correcting me, I misspoke. The start of the ambulance storyline with them.
Yeah, yes.
So they're in the backseat.
I also did not think that was the greatest thing that he could say.
No.
Again, no. Goes back to like I think in his little baby Alex brain, he's like, this will be a comforting thing to say.
Yeah, your best friend gets pregnant all the time.
But he's trying.
She just, you know, she
does not want those babies. And she just keeps getting them. So why don't you just get her to give you one?
Yeah. And then also simultaneously with all of this, so Derek told Mark that they're not getting Zola. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you could just take my baby like a timeshare. Yep. And Derek is like, that's stupid. Your baby's not a weekend in Cabo. And Mark is like, you're being closed-minded. Even Arizona. She's like, Derek,
Arizona's
you suck.
Like, wow. Have you seen my baby? She's so cute.
Yeah. You don't want to timeshare my baby? What the heck's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah.
That was all very comedic storyline.
I agree.
Deliveries.
It was a little bit of levity in a very heavy episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, those were just a couple of the points that I wanted to make sure I called out. I thought that those were funny storyline little tidbits. But, again, like, not that it was funny about the Alex having Christina be a, in his mind, a true option for surrogacy. That I didn't think was funny, but it was just a part of the conversation I thought was worth calling out. Yeah. That's, I think, everything that I have note-wise. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Let me just double-check here. I think... Yeah, Mark, when he basically was telling Derek, he said to Jackson, Dr. Shepard is going to put down his instruments and you are going to take over. It was very nice. Mark was saying, you don't have a choice, Derek. You're off the case, but you're not in trouble. I'm doing this out of love.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that reveal of three more bodies being on the side of the road, I was like, man, no one in this episode can catch a break.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely very, 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 very mid-season cliffhanger. And I wonder if, because, like, they didn't really do a cliffhanger at the end of season 7, they were like, let's make up for it now. We were so nice to them over the summer. Let's just really fuck with them over Christmas.
Let's remind them that this is a drama.
Let's remind them who's the puppet master here.
Yeah, show them who's boss. We'll kill this guy everyone seems to like now that we made him do an air humping scene in the musical.
Yeah. Let me make sure I don't have anything else. I don't think I have anything else. Sorry.
I also don't think that I have anything note-wise, but it does feel like Zola should go to them. This feels like if this is the way that this storyline ends, I'm annoyed.
Yeah. Okay, let me get on my Discord. So let's get our Discord questions out here to you. People were excited for this one, obviously. Let's see. We kind of already talked about this. Do you think Teddy wanting Christina to do the surgery was an error in judgment? No, yes, and no. I think the lie for me is more of the issue.
Yes, yes, the lie for,
I think,
for sure.
What if they just said, gave her the option and didn't put it on her either way? They're like, do you want to do it? We can have one of these other, like, less good surgeons there to assist, or, like, you can assist one of these less good surgeons. Like, just less lying, less forcing, manipulating, concealing.
I think that would have felt more kosher to me. Yeah. Like I said, though, I would have really liked them to use this as an opportunity to either introduce someone who's, like, a game changer or bring back someone like a Han for fun. I can't remember if the person who played Erica Han was a troublesome character. I don't remember.
No. They were just like, where we're getting negative reactions about, I think, the gay storyline. And then they were also like, we just won't renew your contract.
Well,
because they only gave her like an arc, not really like a full character contract.
Got it. That could have been a cool way to like retcon the character, put some rose colored lenses on there, in my opinion. But I'm always a sucker for characters coming back out of the blue. So that would have been nice. Or they could have brought Denny Duquette's character back, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, right? Is that who that was?
Yeah, as his twin brother.
Yeah, Dr. Drake Ramore.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think Teddy was given too much power in a situation where ultimately she's actually the wife and not the doctor?
Yes, absolutely. That's ultimately
and I
the
feel
worst.
Like they were trying to walk the line of like being transparent and like open with her, and they just kind of like leaned too much into that.
Yes.
And then This is a good point. Does Teddy's, these are all from Zoe, by the way. Does Teddy's Christina is a machine mentality go against what she has been trying to teach her?
Good point. Yeah, because it feels like we had just turned the page of, like, Christina was leaning into the person side of things. But yeah. Also, it wasn't just the person side of things. It was working as a team.
Yeah.
So even
I do
at the
think
end,
there was a little bit more of, like, other doctors, not necessarily just, like, thinking about the patient, but also thinking about everyone that you're working with.
Yeah. It also feels like the reaction of when the surgery is done, immediately telling Weber to make sure that it didn't go on her boards, kind of also was a turn from what Teddy had been doing with her over the last little bit of arc. So,
yeah.
Maybe a regression, kind of. Maybe this causes Christina to fall off a bit and recluse herself. I don't know.
Katya would like to know your predictions for the victims of the car that hit the ambulance.
One of them is alive, and one of them is T.R. Knight.
The alive one?
Yeah. The other one is dead. One of the dead ones is still just George dead.
Yeah.
I think one of them is alive. One of them is going to be alive.
And a predictions for Callie and Jackson's patient. And will Jackson be punished for the mistake?
I'm hoping Jackson will not be punished. But I don't know if she lives.
I would just like the clarity of, like, what happened. Like, was this unavoidable mistake, or
right.
was everything done correctly and something, like, beyond control happened?
Or was this Callie's mistake? Did she, mm-hmm. like, did she not catch that her bones were frail and fickle? We don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys know. I don't.
Maddie, who is our biggest Teddy and Henry stan, said she was overwhelmed with feelings for the episode, and it was hard for her to think of questions. She said, if Carmen was Owen or the chief in the situation and had to make these decisions, mainly, like, just with, like, the Teddy and Henry situation, would you have made any different decisions?
I don't know if I was Weber, if I would have made any different choices. I think he probably was calmer and cooler than I would have been able to be in that situation. If I was Owen, though, no way in hell I'm letting my wife go in that situation, regardless of what my friend says.
Yeah.
And not from, like, a white knight, misogynist, protector kind of mentality. Like, that's your partner, and the role of a marriage is to have that person's back above everyone else.
And set them up for success. Like, not put them in situations like that. Also, like, again, he's, like, part of the lie.
Yes.
Or the betrayal of trust. Again, you have to remember the context of, like, what she went through with everything with Meredith and Derek and the shooting. So I agree. I think there should have been put up more of a fight for her. From him specifically as her husband. And I know that, like, I do bitch a lot about those lines getting blurred, but, like, this is a situation when it should have been. Like, if you're going to blur the Teddy and Henry line, we can blur the Owen Christina line.
Yeah. Even the Owen and Teddy line, they, sure, like, okay,
well,
they're best friends, so
what? If it was Teddy, if it was someone else, I don't think that Owen would have given in as much. Like, I think
because
of
it was
their
Teddy.
History. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Remember, like, two episodes ago when they were at Christmas and Teddy wanted to bone Owen because he was playing guitar?
Yep, sure do.
And Richard was drunk.
Good times.
Yeah, I think that Owen, if I was Owen, I would have been like, I don't care who you are to me. I don't care our past. I don't care that we shared a battlefield together. This is my wife.
I don't
and
care
you are
if you're
not
mad,
putting her in.
Like,
and I, yeah, right. There are other surgeons who are better than Christina out there who exist. This is a fifth-year resident. So.
We already kind of touched on these, but she also said, how does Carmen think Teddy is going to find out or who's going to tell her? You said either Owen or Weber.
Yeah.
And then predictions on Teddy's relationship with people in the hospital or how her future in general, which you said that you think she's gonna leave.
Yeah, she has to. I can't see this working out.
Yeah. Was Sandra Oh's performance when Christina is told that it was Henry one of the best you've seen from her? Yes. But she also has a lot of really good ones. Like, when they cut her out of the wedding dress is probably, like, one of the top three for me. But this is also up there for sure.
Yeah. This podcast, John. This was definitely a great performance. I'm having a hard time remembering a lot of other performances from her. What I like about Sandra Oh's acting and the scenes that they've given her, this is another scene where there were no words and so much emotion. Like the fish scene when she caught the fish.
Mm-hmm.
So much emotion, no words said.
Yeah.
That is incredible. That's incredible acting, truly.
How much of an impact will this have professionally on Teddy's relationship with Christina, Owen, and Weber? We kind of already touched on that.
Yeah, I don't... All of them are destroyed.
Bad. It will be bad.
It is a negative.
But also Christina's relationships with all of these people. Because
correct.
They all fucking lied to her. Okay. Will Meredith and Derek be able to move on from Zola? And how?
Yes, when they get Zola. Next episode.
Okay. How's that going to play out?
I don't know.
They're going to like pull up. The court is going to drive up to the side of the road where Meredith is and be like, just kidding, here's your hearing.
I don't know. If this is the end of this storyline and they're not getting Zola for real, and this is a situation where George is actually dead, and I'm like, oh, is George really dead? And it's right in front of me, and they're saying, yeah, we're not getting Zola. And I'm like, whoa, are they really not getting Zola? If this really is the end of that storyline, bah humbug, I hate it. but I guess that just means that they're never going to do kids. Like, they're closing the story. That's it. They gave us a taste. It must have reacted poorly in focus groups, and Meredith is not going to be a mom. That's it.
Okay. And then if Carmen could bring back one killed off character so far, who would it be and why?
Ooh. Man, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because
George
for me,
can I stay dead. George, sorry.
Here's the thing. They could bring back George if he continued on his arc, but I don't trust that the writers would have done that. I
just wonder how much everything would be different if Denny hadn't died. Like, so, George and Izzy never sleep together if Denny doesn't die.
Right. I would like to see either Denny or Dylan.
Yeah, I could keep Henry around because I do find him to be very attractive.
I wasn't including Henry because he died just this episode.
Yeah, well, he counts. He's dead.
Yeah, he does. If we're including that, Henry's a good one. Henry and Denny are kind of like the most recurring characters that I can think of off the top of my head. Although, honestly, Charles and Reed, gone too soon. Who knows what could have happened?
Were they? I think they were fine.
Wait, you know what? No, we got to bring back Mandy Moore. Gone too soon.
Yes. Ellis can probably stay dead.
Or Seth Green, bring him back.
Oh, Seth and Lexi.
Yeah. R&D. I think they would have gotten married.
I would have loved that. They would be so cute.
Yeah.
Okay, let's rate it, and then we'll do more predictions.
I think this is a pretty easy one to rate.
Go for it.
That's a 5.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like it's
rare that I want to give a cliffhanger a 5, because I just put so much part of a storyline on resolution, and like there doesn't have any, but it's written that way. So like they do a good job not resolving anything.
The resolution is built within the irresolution.
Resolution is looming, hopefully. But like I said, I remember watching it live and being like, well, fuck me. This is going to suck for the next like 2.5 months.
Yeah, literally all of your holiday dinner plans are ruined because you're going to talk about Grays and that's it.
Yeah. Also, I will say this. There were websites you could get on and like find spoilers for sure. And I definitely was on those websites. Well, sometimes I would be like, I don't want to know. And sometimes I would be like, I want to know.
Should I do that? Should I live the full Kelsey experience and Google what comes next?
No.
So for me, a lot of great acting, a lot of layers There's mm-hmm. comedy. There's lies. There's betrayal. There's love.
Betrayal.
There's deception. Disgrace. There's a lot happening in this episode. And when a main character dies, I have a hard time not giving that episode a 5.
Yeah.
Not, and he's not a main character. But I think when George died, I think I gave that episode a 5. It was dramatic. It was intense. If I didn't, I'll eat my words. Alicia, tell me if I'm wrong. But I have a hard time not giving this one a 5. Like, I'm trying to think what in this wouldn't have made it a 5. And then at the end, when they walk out and there's 3 more bodies on the road, like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. The edge of your seatness is very real in this episode.
From the second it starts.
Yeah.
From the
truly.
Second it starts.
They don't ease you in. They're like, oh, you think traffic is bad? How about death?
Murder traffic.
Okay. So I don't see any other predictions. I think we really predicted everything, I guess. No, I feel like we got everything. Right? Am I not thinking of anything?
No, I think so. I think that's it. I mean, I can't think of anything
we
specifically.
We kind
of
addressed of everything
head.
Like as it was occurring.
Yeah.
So anything else
I don't have
you
any predictions
say to
for
before we wrap it up?
Yeah. Happy New Year. If you've got a resolution, go and chase it.
If you don't, that's fine too.
Do you have any resolutions?
I saw a meme that said, I will not be making a resolution. It is time for the year to be better. I agree. 2025, do better.
Do you have any things that you're focusing on? Or I don't
I
like using
like
the words resolution.
Work a little more on like getting our house and keeping it in a more organized state.
Mm, nice.
It's always hard after the holidays because my children are very loved and blessed. We get so many things, and there's just too much stuff in my house. We're too blessed.
Yeah.
Blessed by stuff.
Blessings.
So we gotta figure out toy storage. I've already talked about going through stuff and like pulling it out and donating it. And Scarlett's on board, so she's gonna be involved in that process.
Nice.
So we're gonna work on that. Michael's already worked on cleaning out space in the garage, so that we can utilize our garage better. So. We're just going to kind of work on focusing on that. And then I'm going to focus on giving birth and just being alive with a baby.
And that's
baby.
Important.
So, yeah, that's the goal. That's the 2025 year vision board. Organization
yeah,
and baby.
We do every New Year's Eve. We don't go out. We just stay at home and we like type up a Word document and we break them into different buckets like financial, family, and relationship. And we looked at it like a week ago. We did a pretty decent job. This year, I think, hopefully, if the Lord blesses us with a baby, mm-hmm. this will be the year that I get a new car as well, which would be nice. So, but yeah, so we're looking forward to 2025. So that's all I got. I'm just excited for everyone to hopefully have a better year and, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yes. Best of luck for everyone into the new year. Hope it is everything you want it to be. You do not have to put pressure on yourself to be a different person. It is fine to set little goals and not just be like, I am going to run 18 marathons this year. You don't have to do that. It's fine. If you just want to keep on keeping on, also fine. If the best part about 2024 was surviving it, I heard. You have our love and our support, and we appreciate your love and support always. And we're just going to keep working on this podcast and growing it and hoping for the best and just pushing through and getting out more content for you guys. So if there's more you want to see, we are here to serve as much as we can. We are going to try and get some ahead of schedule because I did count and I should be giving birth like right when we get to the finale, so we're going to try and have that pre-recorded so that we don't have to postpone it or anything like that. So but thank you guys all so much. You're just lovely, lovely people, and we love you so much. And please keep sharing us on all of the things and all of the places, and tell everybody you meet about the show, and If you see Carmen walking down the street, please, please, please remember
to wish me a happy new year and to take a quick selfie, maybe a hug.
New year, no spoilies.
New year, no spoilies. We appreciate you all. We'll see you all in the next one.